Thank you, Nick, and thanks for putting on a good conference today. It's pleased to be here. Good attendance as well. Let's see here if we get this. To keep our lawyers happy. Talking about investment opportunities today is reminds me a little bit about the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but there's a lot of good things, or there's not a lot of good things out there in shipping, but we're trying to highlight a few of these today. So for an investor looking at the returns in the shipping industry, you can see that current returns are favoring LNG and offshore. You can get a payback in less than 5 years buying a drill ship, but may have to wait for 20 years to get a return on a VLCC and a container vessel. So things are looking a little dire for some of the shipping segments. Starting with the positive, LNG has a very favorable long-term outlook. The balance is expected to remain very tight through 2014. We're seeing new emerging trade patterns creating arbitrage opportunities as more countries are importing LNG. Also, very strong growth in liquefaction capacity over the next couple of years. And what could be a complete game changer is that the U.S. is emerging as a potential exporter of LNG starting 2015. The primary driver behind the LNG trade is the potential arbitrage opportunities. As you can see, the Henry Hub natural gas is a very little blue, a light blue bar, is trading at a significant discount to the rest of the areas. Nat gas in Europe and nat gas in Asia are trading at a significant premium. So at 250, there's a lot of incentives to export gas from the U.S. Currently, that arbitrage is constrained by limited import and export terminals and also a limited number of ships. You can see here growth in liquefaction capacity is expected to continue a very steady growth trend. Over the last 25 years, liquefaction capacity has grown at about 7%. Going forward, just based on the first blue bar, based on the new confirmed capacity, we expect about 4% growth. That equates to about 20 ships per year. If you add what's expected capacity, growth can go to 11% or about 60 ships per year. But just continuing on the historical trend around 7-8%, that's about 40 ships per year. What could be a complete game changer is that the U.S. emerging as an LNG exporter. Natural gas production has more than tripled in the United States in the last couple of years. As a result, LNG imports are down 50%. Before going to the order book, just to mention, it's kind of interesting to look at 10 years ago, Alan Greenspan talked about LNG imports being a game changer for the United States. 10 years later, Cheniere, who was on the forefront building regas plants in the U.S., are now changing and are looking at exporting gas. And they've recently signed contracts for about 10 million tons per year with exports starting in 2015, 2016. That, depending on if the gas is going to Europe or Asia, could result in additional shipping requirements for 10 to 18 ships. And if you look at the order book, last year growth was only 4%. Current order book is about 16%. So, new deliveries, as of last week, and it's difficult to keep up with John Fredriksen. I know he's out there ordering LNG as we speak, but the order book is about 58 ships. So we think that we need a lot more ships to take care of the liquefaction capacities coming online, potential regas opportunities, as well as LNG exports out of the U.S. Going over to product tankers, Even though the outlook right now or the current rates really don't look that attractive, we see a lot of structural changes taking place. There's dislocation of capacity. Most of the refineries are going up in the Far East. We're seeing closures of U.S. refineries as they're having difficulties in competing with some of these new refineries in the Middle East. And as a result, new trade patterns are evolving. Relatively balanced supply and demand profile going forward, about 4% fleet growth versus 4% demand growth, suggests a pretty balanced market. Also, we're seeing some asset values here. At current level, we're seeing some good support for new build values. Just to show you the current dislocation of refinery capacity, as you can see, Asia-Pacific region, we've seen significant growth of refineries over the next couple of years, also the Middle East. And these new export-focused refineries are much more competitive. They can process a wider slate of crude, and some of the U.S. refineries are having difficulties in competing with these refineries. Just our analyst team in London did a study on the impact of higher U.S. product imports. If we would see a 200,000 barrel decline in U.S. Imports, then, and that was sourced completely from India, it could result in a 30% increase in product imports. Or if you put it in perspective, it would be 30 LR1s or about 20 LR2s. So very positive for the product tanker market and ton-mile demand. Also, we mentioned a little bit about the order book. You know, we're seeing that continuing decline. It's declined from about 50% back in 2008, 2007, when the ordering peaked, down to only 10% currently. There is some concern if the market picks up that you could see new ordering activity, and actually ordering activity has picked up in the last year. However, looking at who can build these product tankers, I mean, the Chinese yards are still moving up the learning curve. The Japanese yards are basically not competitive at current exchange rates. So we see a limited number of ships coming out of those countries. Looking at historical asset values, as you can see, we've the top line showing the price of an MR1. We're back to basically low 30s. Labor and steel cost, even though steel costs have declined, we don't see much further downside on steel pricing going forward. And currently, at current pricing, the yards are barely making a profit in the low 30s for an MR. So we think this is a good entry point to buy a product tanker. Moving over to some of the bad, which currently there's pretty a bleak outlook for crude tankers. Some of the positive structural changes that favor product tankers have the opposite impact on the crude market. So call on OPEC is expected to remain flat over the next couple of years, and that's the key driver behind tanker demand. We're seeing one of the reasons why OPEC production is flat is significant increases in North American oil production. We're also seeing refinery closures on the U.S. East Coast as they are no longer competitive. Although China is growing, there's still a lot of headwinds facing the U.S. and European economies. In 2010, floating storage saved the market, but given the current backwardation in the market, we don't see floating storage coming to rescue. Order book is still it's quite high. We expect significant deliveries in 2012. Just look at OPEC production. I mean, that's been the key driver for long-haul tanker demand. It's peaked out at 31.5 million barrels in 2008, currently around 30 million barrels per day. So not much growth there for VLCCs and Suezmax demand. We're seeing some increases in 2013, But given the strong increases in demand for some of the Middle East countries, a lot of that production will be designated for internal consumption. And here we've seen, you know, OECD production. It's very strong increases in North America and the shale plays. At $100 oil, it makes a lot of sense to drill for oil in the U.S. We expect about 500,000 of oil production coming in line over the next 2 years. You add, you know, some of the production in Canada as well, which would have further reduced, you know, demand for long-haul tankers into the U.S. And just taking the OPEC production and OECD production into play and looking at what's going on with U.S. crude imports, it's been on a steady decline for the last couple of years. With the prospects of the XL pipeline, even though it was vetoed by the president, I think it could become it's definitely become a political and election issue. We think the XL pipeline could come online, and that'd be another 500,000 barrels will come from Canada. Taking into account also closures of refineries in on the East Coast, it paints a pretty bleak picture for long-haul imports into the U.S. Mentions floating storage. We had 45 vessels storing crude back in 2010. That was a very strong driver behind rates back then. Current backwardation does not justify, you know, storage of oil. And even though the order book has declined from 50% down to about 17% currently, we still see about 60 VLCs and about 55 Suezmaxes being delivered into the market in 2012. Finally, the dry bulk segment, there's still a lot of headwinds here as well. There are supply issues. Potentially, we're seeing the bottom of the market in 2012. You know, China is the key driver behind the dry bulk market, but there's still headwinds facing the economy. And weak demand and high inventories of steel products are having a negative impact on steel production. And dry bulk fleet growth, you know, the highest order book at 30%, deliveries are expected to peak out in 2012. So the question is, you know, given all the doom and gloom for dry bulk, are we at a bottom here? That could provide an interesting contrarian play in, you know, 2012. Dry bulk is the segment that's most leveraged to Chinese economy. We're seeing some pickup in some of the leading indicators as of late, but there's still a lot of headwinds facing the major economies in the world. European Euro economies have their fair share of problems, and we expect, you know, recessionary problems throughout most of 2012. U.S., even though we've seen some positive numbers as of late, we still need to see confirmation on government spending and consumption numbers coming up to confirm the trend. And China, probably still another decline in the first quarter, and potentially, you know, emerging to more positive data towards the end of the year. Just showing you, you know, kind of this pretty much sums up what's going on in the dry bulk market right now. I mean, steel production is a major driver behind dry bulk demand, and production has declined in China as steel prices have come down quite significantly. Iron ore imports still has been very strong into China, so the ports, the inventory levels are at a pretty high level. So we're still, you know, looking at some headwinds on the steel market. On the other hand, the thermal market is much stronger, helping offset some of the declines in the iron ore market. Just a final slide here on the dry bulk fleet. It's been a tremendous growth in new building activity over the last 3 years. Finally, the deliveries are peaking out in 2012, but still there's about 30, the order book is about 30%. It's about 2,400 vessels to be delivered over the next couple of years. That's 2.2 vessels per day, and there's still 400 capes on order. So While there's a lot of doom and gloom for dry bulk, I mean, we've seen positive investment opportunities in LNG. Structural changes having a very positive, a very positive impact on the product tanker market over the next couple of years. But as you know, investors in shipping have barely made their big returns on betting on the safe. So maybe a bet on dry bulk or tankers could provide some interesting returns going forward. That's all I had. Thank you.